of the whip of this committee and the chairperson of this committee. I will deal with it now. Being here on time, in fact, not on time, before the time. No, we will all leave early. 2:46. We've got a presence of six in this meeting. Whip, you can direct us. We can continue. So we will continue. Let me welcome the representatives of the South African Quality Assurance Body. Since the last meeting, we've taken quite a lot of issues up that you raised and that somehow we interacted on. At subsequent meetings with the ministers and visits to certain, at least one or two provinces. But I hope that we'll be able to move swiftly through the presentation. The annual reports were given to us. So I want to give over to the CEO.
Thank you,
Chairperson,
and the members
of the Portfolio Committee. Our presentation will be particularly brief, and we'll try and leave enough time for questions. We'll do this in three parts, harmony. I will do the kind of strategic overview. My deputy, Joe Samuels, will in fact do the operational issues and the reporting on our performance. And then our chief finance officer will in fact take you through the financials. And then I will just end off on the way forward. The presentation, in fact, deals with the theme of embracing change, and this was to kind of signal the new mandate with the new N2F Act and SACWA's enhanced role in the new N2F landscape. The issues around the importance of intellectual leadership to provide stability and continuity and continuous improvement as we move through the transition period. We will also signal the fact that we remain a model statutory body and that we have increased efficiency and always our eye on the government priorities and the future. In terms of the report, it's a standard annual report format, which in fact deals with the forwards by the ministers and the chairperson. It's probably interesting to note that this is the last time that SACWA will have the forwards of two ministers. With the new Ministry of Higher Education and Training, the forward will only be by the Minister of Higher Education and Training. And then, of course, we include the strategic report by the executive officer and the operational report by the deputy executive officer. In SACWA, the deputy executive officer operates as the chief of operations. So that would be one way of looking at it. In terms of the overview of the annual report, we certainly meet the requirements in terms of corporate governance. We include our responsibility statement in terms of the PFMA, the report of the Auditor General, then the report of the Accounting Authority, and, of course, right at the back, we have the program performance, which is incredibly important, both in terms of performance audits, but also to hold the statutory body accountable. In terms of SACWA's new mandates, the new N2F Act came into implementation from the 1st of June 2009, which in fact is outside the period under review, But we had to do a lot of preparation because we didn't know exactly when that was going to happen. So we already started implementing, once we knew we had the joint policy statement at the end of 2007 and the new NQF Act, which although it was only promulgated in February of this year, we knew that it had been passed by the two houses of Parliament and therefore was on the way to the President for signature. So we did a whole lot of preparation. And in terms of this new Act, we have to oversee the further development and implementation of the NQF. We've got to advise the minister. We have to collaborate extensively with the quality councils. We have to look at the issues of level descriptors, the registration of qualifications and part qualifications, professional bodies and professional designations. I think it's important for the portfolio committee to realize that this is a further refinement of the NQF. The professional bodies were always incorporated in the work of the old SACWA Act, but what the NQF Act does is to allocate particular responsibilities to professional bodies, both in that they have to collaborate with the quality councils in terms of professional qualifications, and particularly with SACWA in terms of the recognition as professional bodies for the purposes of the NQF Act, as well as the registration of the professional designations on the NQF. And this is quite strategic because when you want to ask how many professional engineers do you have practicing, very often it's difficult to get that kind of information. And with this information being now taken up by our National Learner Records database, that kind of information is going to be a lot easier, and especially when you look at the myriad of professions that we have. In terms of international relations, we have a particularly important role in terms of international best practice on NQFs. The issues of research I will come back to a bit later. I've mentioned already about the National Learner Records database. This is a really important national resource, and already the chair of the portfolio committee is saying, how can we tie on an employment section to the back of that, or how can we make that work better with employment services? And we clearly are looking at that. The evaluation of foreign qualifications, this area has become an enormously important part and has been further extended that the Department of the DPSA, in fact, all public servants' qualifications are now verified by SACWA. And then, of course, the important thing about communication in terms of NQF advocacy. In terms of the strategic imperatives which underpinned our work, it is about looking at how we're going to deal and implement the new legislation, managing the transition. Very important is this whole issue of advocacy, and a whole lot of work has happened. We've been working with this project steering team composing of the three QCs. The Quality Council for Trades and Occupations was represented by the Department of Labor, as well as the Department of Higher Education and Training. And I'm pleased to see Professor Chika Sahuli here, and he comes along to the Project Steering Committee meeting. The public launch of the NQF advocacy campaign, that we will wait until the minister gives the go-ahead, but a whole lot of work is happening in the background, including a very well-researched and implemented helpline. The research we will talk about, but there's a whole number of strategic partnerships that my colleague Joe Samuels will talk about. And again, what SACWA is doing is not duplicating, but saying it wants to look very carefully at end to F research and things that relate to the National Qualification Framework, but we do that in partnership with the universities and other partners, and so you'll see us collaborating with the Human Sciences Research Council as well as universities. And then the important issue of advancing lifelong learning, including the recognition of prior learning, and the Portfolio Committee will be pleased to know that there's a lot of positive moves that's happening on that particular front, and then credit accumulation and transfer. In terms of intellectual leadership, I think the first issue is this crossover of work and learning. I think we now know that this is an area. It's about education, it's about training, it's about development, and it's about work. And so education and training and development linked with work is a very important nexus. And so working with the University of the Western Cape and the insurance CETA, we ran a whole number of workshops around the country. We had Professor Knut Illeris here talking about learning in work life. And we took him around the country so that he worked with a number of our institutions, notably the University of the Western Cape and the Durban University of Technology. Similarly, we had Dr. Jenny Horstman here about women work on learning and about the impact on violence of learning. We talk a lot about being gender sensitive and all of that, but very often our learning opportunities for women is not it doesn't have the enabling support that women need. And this issue of the impact of violence on learning is quite an important issue. And then we had Mr. Shaquille Ori, who is at the University of the Durban University of Technology, and they kind of forerunners in work integrated learning, making sure that our learners at the institution is exposed to good internships and what is called cooperative education. And then we had the international guru, Professor Tony Watts, dealing with the issues of career guidance. And again, we've interacted with the Portfolio Committee and with the services CETA, the chair was able to see firsthand what happens at a center like Leicester in terms of a helpline. We have taken the issues about the career advice helpline quite far, and we have started a pilot project with a services CETA, and with advice from the chair of the Portfolio Committee, we've looked very carefully at the other partners. We have had a meeting with the National Youth Development Agency, and their interim CEO has given their support with things that they want to see as important. And again, Chairperson, you were very gracious at the MERCETA AGM when you spoke. You were telling them about the SACWA, and their CEO, Dr. Raymond Patel, in fact, is also coming on board to move, so they were following your directive to them. In terms of intellectual leadership, there are these partnerships, and again, I'm going to go through them fairly quickly and just give you a snippet of the importance. With the Witwatersrand University, Dr. Ian Moll is looking at the issues of communities of practice and ethnographical studies, and what they're looking at is how do you in fact ensure that learning moves from one generation to another, and how do you in fact invite new people into communities of practice, and what that would mean for expertise in a national qualifications framework. At Rhodes University, they are looking particularly at workplace learning and about sustainable development practices in agriculture. And so there's some very nice PhD studies that's been conducted there. At the University of the Western Cape, there's a recognition of prior learning and looking at how this is practiced in different kind of sites and how this practice can be enhanced. And they're dealing with some of the blockages in the system, how we can avoid some of the blockages that prevent an increase in this RPL practice. The issue at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, they're looking particularly at the FET colleges and how the new National Certificate Vocational has impacted on both learners and the lecturers and what do we have to do differently in that sector. And then we're very excited, in conjunction with the Joint Education Trust, we want to start putting the preparatory building blocks in place for an impact study, which is one of the functions that we have to undertake in terms of our mandate. In terms of the governance, again, I'm pleased to report to the Portfolio Committee that SACWIS received its 12th unqualified, I have to say clean audit report. Unqualified almost seems like you did something wrong. Your clean audit report, and since our inception, we've had clean audit reports. We comply with King 2, and we are prepared for compliance with King 3 as it applies to a statutory body. We have a full investors in people status, so that means our HR systems are there to enhance the quality of the people who work at SACWA. We have effective performance and a development system for our staff. And in fact, you don't get that. If you don't have that, you can't get an investor in people's award. And we're looking at records management very carefully so that we meet the requirements of the archiving regime in South Africa. I'll now hand over to my colleague Joe Samuels to talk about improving the stability and continuous improvement.
Thank you very much, Ms. Isaacs. This function that I'm going to speak about is really the kind of operational stuff that we have been doing, and in particular those functions that we had to continue to do while we were preparing for the transition. One of the first things that we have done is we have created a directorate that looked at the evaluation of foreign qualifications. And in particular, we have worked in mutual consultation and cooperation with the Department of Education, looking, for example, at this whole question of, if one brings in, foreign teachers from other countries and the evaluation of their teaching qualifications. Also, we've been working with the department around the recognition agreement with the Russian Federation, as we know that, it is quite a strategic kind of thing, because we had quite a number of people that used to study within the Russian Federation, during the struggle and so on. Also, the Russian Federation has been making a number of bursaries available to our learners and so on. And there are also people who have studied things like medicine, engineering, and so on, that come to South Africa, and then, there has been some difficulties and so on, and we've, working on this, arrangement to try to sort, those particular things out. Furthermore, from a strategic point of view, there is quite a lot of interaction between, South Africa, particularly the science community, in terms of space research, in terms of energy and so on. And so it is quite important that we understand the different systems and then reach an agreement, around this. During the year under review, we have received 29,347 applications. And this is quite important because, you know, we have been given the responsibility of doing an evaluation of all the foreign qualifications, particularly of those people who would like to have work permits. And it's an important part, you know, of that particular process. If one looks at the annual report, the annual report gives a breakdown of, you know, where most of these applications are coming from, as well as the levels, as it were, as well as the kind of qualifications and people that we are attracting. In fact, the majority of people, applications that we have evaluated come from Zimbabwe. I think it's something like 57%, you know, is the figure that is mentioned there. Now, in terms of the National Learners Record Database, the Executive Office already, you know, referred to the increasing importance of the National Record Database. What we have been doing in cooperation with GIPSA, you know, it has been identified as one of the key sources of data for the national data set. In fact, GIPSA is supporting us at the moment in trying to get the qualifications of private providers in higher education onto, onto the database. In fact, accelerating that process that we're working with in collaboration, or in fact supporting the Council on Higher Education. We also, the NLRD also makes information available to key partners, and we've got six different search engines, in fact, on our website that really help, people to do so. And then we also publish from time to time, different aspects, of the NLRD. Furthermore, we are busy cooperating with a number of bodies, including Stats SA, regarding information management, and in particular what we are working towards is to become, a body that information can be given to and can be, verified, in fact, by Stats SA. The Executive Office spoke about verifications. We've been asked by the Department of Public Service and Administration to verify all the existing qualifications of people in the public service. Not only that, we have also been asked now that to verify qualifications of people in high-level posts, that needs to be, before appointments are made. So together with the NLRD and the evaluation of foreign qualifications, that kind of service is being provided, as we speak, as it were. Then in terms of the international liaison, this is also, a new function, or, the function has been confirmed with in terms of the new act. And what we have done is we have actually hosted quite a number of international delegations, particularly, people from within the African continent. For example, we've been also working with Ethiopia and with the Seychelles on request. Where they've asked us to assist them in terms of developing their, national qualifications frameworks. In terms of quality assurance, what we have done in the last financial year is to look at trends in performance auditing of quality assurance bodies, and we have developed a report on that. That we've made available last year. We also continue monitoring of implementation of the development plans of 9 ETQAs that has been given provisional accreditation. And in fact, given the fact that the QCO is not up and running, we are still performing the function, of doing this until the end of this current financial year. We also did quite a lot of work in terms of enabling and preparing for the transition, to the new system by having a number of interactions with the Council on Higher Education and with UMLUSI and with the Department of Labor. In terms of standard setting, what we have done is to enter into a number of agreements, and together with the Council on Higher Education and the Department of Education, We have signed and agreed on a number of issues in terms of the transition, and also sent out a number of communiques. In fact, we've sent out 3 communiques between the 3 organizations. In terms of that, what we've agreed that only pipeline qualifications and specific requests will be dealt with in terms of in line with national priorities. If one looks at over the past, the reporting period, we have registered 140 new qualifications and 641 standards, and these are particular areas, of national importance. We've also extended the registration of provider-based qualifications for a further 3 years to ensure that there's stability in the system, and so that when the other QCs are in a position, in fact, to take over the qualifications and the standard setting function, that they're able to do that in a smooth and in a managed manner. In terms of our information technology, the key here has been about working on a number of areas where, SAQA's business processes are integrated to achieve greater efficiency, and effectiveness. For example, we have developed a client relationship management system that deals with all the complaints that we do get, and we track the complaints to make sure that all the complaints are dealt with, and that the customers and that the SAQA clients are happy, around that. In terms of the human resource area, the CEO referred to the fact that we have achieved a full investors in people status, and this is quite critical because it focuses on the development, of our staff members. We also have got an effective performance and development system, and also, as outlined earlier, that you cannot achieve the investors in people status if you don't have a very good performance and management and development system in your organization. From a publications point of view, we've got a publication called the SAQA Update, where we give up-to-date information as to what is happening to all the stakeholders, so that particularly in this area where there has been uncertainty, that one actually gives enough information. The career guidance, we've put together a booklet on career guidance, and that features Professor Tony Watts that the CEO has spoken about earlier. We also did a publication on the impact of critical crossroad outcomes on curriculum pedagogy and assessment in adult basic education and training. And then another booklet, The NQF and Its Worlds, really tracks the debates and the discussions around the development of the NQF over the last 12 years. Chairperson, now in terms of increased efficiency, over to Mark.
Thanks, Chair, and members of the committee. You will see that once again, as our CEO has mentioned, that we are very proud of the fact that we received our 12th unqualified audit report. It's obviously something that we take very seriously. You will see that we have spent for the year in review 89.1% of the approved budget, 2089. And as always, one of SAQA's objectives is that we manage our funds responsibly, effectively, and efficiently, and this is also in line with this governance initiative of the cost containment strategy. For the year review, you will see that we also completed, in terms of our building and infrastructure, completion of a 3-level parking garage to assist with the parking requirements of the SAQA staff members. Then the next slide shows a breakdown of the programs. We have 5 programs. And it shows that our total budget for the 8-9 financial year was 73.9 million, and of which we spent 65.9 with an under expenditure of 8 million. You will see this table is also represented on page 82 of the annual report. In looking at the breakdown of the underspending, You'll see, but we've shown there's really two categories there. One is in terms of the efficiency savings, which we've managed to achieve. And there, amongst others, is we've had savings for travel and accommodation costs for non-staff members. We've been efficient in terms of our telephone management, station and photocopying, computer expenses, and then IT application development software. Then in terms of our underspending, you'll see at 8% of our total budget is mainly the personnel costs, and then we had other underspending in terms of conference costs and books and subscriptions. So overall, we feel we managed our budget efficiently and managed to at the same time achieve all of the objectives that are set out in our strategic plan. Thanks very much, Chair.
I'll just conclude with talking about the way forward. So there is a continuity from one financial year to another, taking into account the priorities of government. And so you'll see on that slide, again, the importance of how the strategic objectives from one year is built on and refined as we take it forward to the next. What is important, and I'll talk to the diagram, if we look there, we'll see that a lot of trouble, and the Portfolio Committee has seen this slide before, is that we take a lot of trouble to build the bedrock infrastructure. And so standard setting and quality assurance is now under the new Act going to be the function of the quality councils. The one quality council that is not in place yet is the Quality Council for Trades and Occupations. So I think it's important that we note that. The second issue is the issue around verification. Joe Samuels has already spoken to that. The Human Resource Development Strategy and the National Skills Development Strategy. From the 1st of November, the Ministry of Higher Education and Training now took over the skill development portion of the Department of Labor. That's now there, and of course, obviously, the link between NSDS3 and the HRD strategy is quite important. But that, with the N2F link, is about energizing learning, teaching, and development. So that's important. The issues of research into work and learning, providers, institutions, and workplaces is important, as well as the issue around advocacy, the issues of communication, coordination and partnership. So that becomes incredibly important. Now, that's all the bedrock. But how does that deliver to learners and to provide benefits to society? We believe that, amongst others, there are two important areas, and both these areas are concerns of the Portfolio Committee. The one is the recognition of prior learning. That's the issues of access, redress, and articulation, how this works. It's a systemic issue as well as finding the right kind of incentives to ensure that you get increased RPL practice across the board. And then the issue about career advice services to help people manage their careers. And we see this as important. And there are a number of important players. The National Youth Development Agency has a legal mandate to provide within their means for career guidance to their sector. We've got the Department of Labor through its employment services are delivering career guidance. The two departments of education, the higher education and training, plus basic education, sees career guidance as important parts of their mandate. And in terms of an NQF, you need the navigational tools. And so what SACWA is doing in the space at the moment is providing leadership to say, these are some of the things, now can we take it forward? And we have, to the Minister of Higher Education and Training, given him all our plans and said, please, Minister, will you give direction as to how you want this project taken forward. And SASAQWA is the government-appointed custodian of the NQF and is trying to act as a catalyst and facilitator so that we have a framework which we are now understanding. It's a framework of communication, coordination, and collaboration across education, training, development, and work. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thanks a lot, to SASAQWA. In fact, to the members, we again see a as you said, a clean audit. I must admit, I'm one of those people that question the notion about unqualified audit, and because it doesn't always impact on the performance analysis. Now, I know it's a tricky one, because at least we must all just get on to unqualified audits. But the reality is, I was saying it to education the other day, the Department of Education, if you actually take 7-8 years of unqualified audit opinion from the Education Department, and you look at the impact on society, it actually leaves much to be desired. So there is that thing in me. You actually can, as a CFO, ensure full compliance with financial auditing principles, but it does not translate into performance impact in terms of the strategic objectives of a portfolio or a structure. I'm raising that just to keep that in the back, because I think where we are moving to is to drill down in the quality assurance issues, and not only into the basic minimal compliance. So if the transactions happen appropriately, it's compliance. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the impact. But it's not necessarily on yourself. I'm raising it wherever I go currently. Members, we've seen this. We've got the next 40 minutes, because I would want us to finish a little bit earlier. And I would suggest that the finances is one thing, and the strategic issues would we'll start with all the strategic issues and the changes, as well as the phases that you've articulated in terms of programs and so on. So why don't we allow a discussion or questions on that, and then we come just to the financial issues. So if you don't mind, I'm not necessarily going to go page by page. If you direct me that way, I will do it. But I want to capture the first, in a sense, 10 to 12 pages in a block, starting off with page 6, which is embracing change and the principles of all of that. But I've noted a hint. Subhanama.
Thank you, Chair. Can SASAQWA take us through measures they take in evaluating foreign qualifications? And secondly, of the 29,347 students who had applied for bursaries, how many were successful? And of those offered bursaries, how many are males and how many are females? And which field of studies were pursued by various students in this field? Thank you, Chair. Those are the questions that I have.
Okay, we'll clarify, I think, the bursary issue, but we'll get there. Any other question? Member Kabat?
Thanks, Chair. Just a quick one. I think I'll come back on the issues of finances, just linking them up with some of the areas of performance. But just to understand the reasons of vacancy rates, I noted on the report that you've got about 33 vacancies, which about 18 are sitting at a senior management level. If I can just understand that, I think it's on page 45 on your summary in terms of your table. But secondly, it's the impact of those vacancies in terms of delivering your mandate. Thanks.
Any other broader questions? And not the financials necessarily. Member Mishwana.
thank you, Master Chairperson. The first one, you said the first 12 pages, right? Yeah, on page 7, it's a very short...
no problem.
It's a very short question. This CAD, the last bullet, CAD, you talked of cumulative and transfer. Well, what is it? I didn't understand exactly what that stands for. It's just a classification question. But on page... my second one is on page 9. You talk of the learning the impact of violence on learning, such that it's recorded here. Is there something done about those who are found to have gone through some sort of violence? Any assistance at all? Any there's a technology that they use in within police, psychiatrists, I forgot it, but what is done about this? And then on page 11, that's the last question. It is the fourth bullet from the top of the last but one. UK, that an impact of the new vocational qualifications that you said is there. But then vocational qualifications. But I'm checking if there is any link with employment. Unless if I don't understand what type of qualifications you're talking about, because we are sitting with a lot of qualifications that end up without being employed. Is there any relationship, as training is happening, is there any relationship with the world out there to know where things are going? And finally, it's an addition to a question that was asked by the first member on the, he wanted you to unpack the gender. Could I add and say, can you tell us the races there? I'm particularly interested to know who really applies there. Is it gray, black? Thank you.
Chairperson, I only have one question, as to say, do you have a database of the skills that are needed? Is there any database, as to say, so that you can see the impact of what skills, the demands, and whatever? Do you have that database of those skills, as to say, I can see that we are even the verification of you even get the people from outside the country, as to say, how much are they needed? I need to get that. Is there any anything that you have on that issue?
Isaacs, what is the current situation of that system? I'm not talking about the career guidance information system. I'm talking about the one that one sees you've reported on. Operationally, what's the current situation? What can it actually do? And can we get a live presentation on it if we so wish? Is there a place here in Cape Town that we actually can see the system? Can you just elaborate on that? And what are the challenges on that system currently in terms of information shared and so on? Yeah.
Chair, I'll deal with Mr. Boinama's question first. I think the Directorate for the Evaluation of Foreign Qualifications receives applications from people who want to come and live in South Africa for work permits, to come and work in South Africa. It's also foreign students that want to study in South Africa. So they apply, and there are South Africans that have foreign qualifications that want them evaluated. And so the close to 30,000 applications that come are for holders of foreign qualifications, and they want to know what kind of currency does this have in the South African system. Now, the important point about the process of the evaluation of foreign qualifications is that there is a protocol that is followed, but the essential part of the protocol is to have a degree or a qualification recognized in South Africa, it must be recognized in the country in which it was issued. So what you get, and this is a worldwide convention, is there are in every country accredited institutions, government accredited normally, that says these qualifications are regarded as national qualifications. And then on the basis of that, they are looked at in terms of the years of study, the entrance requirements, the exit requirements, and on the basis of that, an evaluation is made. So, for example, one that's on the top of my head now, a Bachelor of Social Sciences that was awarded in Canada is awarded the same status in South Africa, a BA at the old NQF level 6, and under the 10 levels, is now NQF level 7. So that's the way that is done. I think then to conflate those applications, these are not bursary applications. These are applications for the evaluation. They get the evaluation, and then they go off either to the various departments to get their work permit, Home Affairs to get the work permit, or they go to a South African higher education institution to go and register as a student. So that's the purposes for which it's used. So therefore, the issues about bursaries, how many bursaries were issued, that SACWA is not in a position to give that. We want us to go and look for that detail at NSFAS. And so the other categories of numbers and race and all of that obviously is then not applicable. The issue about the people who apply for evaluations, or how old they are, race and gender, we probably would be able to give nationality because we don't necessarily collect race statistics from people. We could look at ID numbers and things like that and give some kind of idea. And there are statistics available on the numbers of people that apply. In terms of the question about the vacancy, now, again, I think it's important, and as the Chair has stated, that a clean audit report is one thing, but it's what the impact you're making. That's the thing. I think we look very carefully to ensure, and if you look at our performance reporting at the end of our annual report, you will see that we've met the targets that we had set out. And so the impact of the vacancies did not have a direct, we mitigated that. Now the reason we have the large number of vacancies, and these are not vacancies at the top level, it's quality assurance and standard setting was moving from SACWA to the QCs, and there was a long period of uncertainty, and we had tried to negotiate with the Department of Labor an agreement so that we could safeguard people's posts and ensure a smooth transition. We were unable to do that. The Department of Labor was not willing to sign a memorandum of understanding to that effect, and as a result of that, people got nervous and people started leaving. What we then did is we backfilled those positions with some temporary staffing on short-term contracts, as well as we used some external consultants to back that up. So we had people to do the work, but we just didn't have people in the full-time positions. The two senior people that we did use, one was Mr. Christopher Son. He was the Director for Quality Assurance and Development. He went to work for the MERS-CETA in a similar position. And then Dr. Ben Parker unfortunately died in October, and we were not able to replace him. Again, we had to backfill with Dr. Ian Moll, who stood in for that period. So that's the way we dealt with the issue of vacancies. CAT is credit accumulation and transfer, and the notion is one that if you studied at one university and you got 20 credits towards a 360 credit qualification, that you could move with those credits to the next institution, and you needed to have a system in place that makes that possible. So if you got credits at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, you could then move to the University of the Free State and get credits for that. In terms of the violence in education, the seminars that was done by Jenny Horstman, there are strategies that can be implemented. The purpose of us offering that was an awareness and to tell people what resources are available that they could be using in their learning programs. And in fact, again, at the Durban University of Technology, when Jenny did this seminar, the Vice Chancellor, Professor Roy Dupree, immediately turned around and said, if we don't get this right, we might as well switch off the lights. And it had such an effect. And I have got copies of the report. There's four copies if people would like it. And if you need more copies, we can certainly make it available. In terms of the KwaZulu-Natal research into the national certificate vocational, I think the question is right. You put people on a program, and does the program lead to employment? And I think that that's one of the questions that the researchers will certainly be looking at. I think there is a lot of questions being asked about the National Certificate Vocational. One is the low pass rates is the one. The second is the fact that people are going to do this. They leave school with a senior certificate, and then they go and they're almost like going backwards. And that's another question that is often raised. And then the question that comes from industry is there are some industries that like the NCV, and there are other industries that don't like it. They prefer the shorter, the old N courses. So there's a problem at that level. And I think the new minister has clearly indicated that he wants a viable post-secondary, post-schooling education and training sector. And I'm sure that tomorrow there was supposed to be a CEPD think tank on FET colleges. That was cancelled or postponed. And I think it is receiving attention from the minister and department. The issue about skills that are needed, yes, we do have, but it's a Department of Labor issued scarce skills list, which the Department of Home Affairs uses to issue work permits. There is a dispensation in terms of the CETAs where there are workplace skills plans. And these are get then taken into sector skills plans and then gets aggregated with the National Skills Development Strategy. All of that is coming under new scrutiny and hopefully we can get a better alignment in terms of that. What SACWA has, we have access to that information, but what we have is what people are skilled at, what qualifications people have. And in terms of the National Learner Records Database, yes, we can certainly do a live presentation. The system is operational and stable. The only issue that is, it is the information that is reliable, that has come through from the providers, through the quality assurance bodies to SACWA. That information is there. But there are still some gaps in that information. And what the important project must happen is to start to fill the gaps. And that, I think, is the challenge. It gives you all the information of qualifications that are registered on the NQF, all the providers that are accredited and registered is on there. It gives you all the individual learners and what their qualifications and credits that they have achieved, and that's been achieved, and it also has the facility for enrollments as well. So it's designed to have enrollments, but to get the information, and also there are legacy information. So if, for example, the Higher Education Management Information System only is a recent development, so what is the information that you have from before that? Fortunately, SACWA has sourced a lot of the university information, which was held at the Human Sciences Research Council, resourcing legacy qualifications and achievements from the old technicons, for example.
I noted the hand. Can I just get back to the vacancy issues? One of the most probably this is the example that one can give when one deal with. The moment that you, if you actually look at that page 45, and if you look at the transformation of that in terms of SACWA, then you would see low end, you would see African male, female. High end, you would not necessarily see that. If you, in fact, look at executive director, sorry, just below the director level, four whites, one colored. Now, clearly one can't somehow be proud of that, just in terms of our own transformation agenda. So the issue for me then also relates to what is the upskilling, but in a sense the transformation workplace strategy. And I don't necessarily want to belabor that point. I'm just saying that I'm leaving. One can leave things as is and get all those unqualified reports, or you can do what you're supposed to do in terms of a transformation and then at times lose the risk of not matters of emphasis. I'm raising that because that's part of the broader transformation challenges I think that we've got. We went to University of Stellenbosch the other day, and the target is 24%, 15% in 2014. On black staff, and when you drill down on that target, you actually then see that it's also at the lower level, even the target in 2015. So I think the discussion, it's something that we want to direct you to in fact looking into this matter at the level of vacancies, but also at the level of compliance to your own HR strategies and. But just hang on that. I think there was two hands that I've noted. Let me just do a follow-up, Ms. Kuba, and then Shukuza.
Sorry, I'm a recording. I was saying that in terms of the vacancies, like as much as you are saying in terms of your targets, you have met them. But the fact that you have an under expenditure in terms of your personnel, I'm assuming where I'm sitting, is because of the vacancies that you have. And therefore, that can be that you are performing well. For me, that's what I'm considering, hence I asked that question. But again, Chair, just to say, it would be interesting to see the issues around what comes out of that visit that they undertook. As you are dealing with the learner database, we'd have to get into details, see the system, interact fully with it, because
I think across board it has been an outcry in higher education to say we lack something that tells us people who qualify where they are and all those things. And if this is a starting, let's have a look at it and perhaps maybe nationally there should be a decision in terms of getting that database, maybe to respond to what we think it should be responding to and getting where the qualifications and everybody is. Thirdly, Chair, it's the issue of the visit to, I think it's UK, would really love to see the report in terms of what has been lessons learned there around the issue of career guidance. I know that we're still producing a lot of people within the sectors that we eventually become unemployable, but which is also something that when we deal with career guidance, how we have been able to come back, was it a study that SAQA learned on their own, and therefore how do you translate all that into our broader society for the benefit of the young people who are out there to understand the career choices that they make. So that's why I'm raising the issue of that career guidance report for us to sort of interact with. So I think other general comments will make them as we come to the issue of the finances which will link. I think it becomes difficult because somehow the issues link. The other issue which I had an interest, I'm not so sure, maybe I'm understanding the report correctly. I was trying to look and understand where they are board members, their attendance and all that, but I saw committees, which I'm not so sure whether it's the same thing, because Mana says that board would have subcommittees that function, and therefore there would be an overall board. Just looking at its composition, the board itself, looking at, or it's the, because I was trying to, 38. So that's the board, because I wasn't sure, it says authority committee, so I was a bit confused. Okay, no, it definitely assists them. Because I was worried that we need to see who are the people on the board and their attendance in terms of the meetings. So
thank you, Chair. I'm sorry I came late. I hope, Anela, you got my apology. Thank you, sir. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I don't know if you covered my curiosity about the bees, but I'm saying I don't know if in your introduction you covered what the illustrations are. I mean, I'm poetic by nature, so I'm busy looking at them and trying to find out why in questions and in strategy you have the same bees hanging the same time at the same time. So, I'm curious about that. I don't even know if you've been quality assured for that illustration, but that's it. Yesterday, in the House, there were members from different political parties asking similar questions, and there was a point of order to saying that why it's the same question. So if it's the third person raising the same thing, you will, or the point of order was ruled out, there was no point of order because different people can raise the same question. So I'm saying if I raise the same question as the other members, the chair and the Honorable Kubai, you will, I just want to endorse the linkage also between the unqualified report to social impact and I won't go further than that. Mine is not so much particularly with reference to any slide, but to try to think out of the box. I don't know how big and small the box is, because as a portfolio committee, we are exposed to a whole lot of bodies and organs of the state that come to present to us with regards to higher education. And one, in reflecting about how we can use ourselves effectively in our oversight as the portfolio committee, then you tend to explore a lot of alternatives. One is to say that you know you are aware of the many changes on the education landscape, the whole separation of basic education and higher education, the migration of skills from labor to higher education and all of that. And my issue is, while I think that each body or organ should retain its own uniqueness in terms of responsibilities, we must begin to create a boundless education society, if you like. So I'm thinking about how, and I know that the minister wants to hold a stakeholder summit on education sometime, maybe next year. So I'm just saying, I'm posting this question further for future, to say, how, what do you think yourself about the changes on the horizon of education, and whether those impact you if you collapse the boundaries that separate you from the other bodies? How can we use you in the changes that are happening? Because all of us are new in the changes. And I think that we can, from everybody that comes, extract some value in terms of how we can strengthen what we're trying to do in helping the minister to discharge his duties well. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is related to the false qualifications that people who may not even be foreigners alone, some are South African citizens, who present false qualifications during the interviews, and they happen to be appointed on the basis of those false qualifications. And usually it remains a challenge for that institution employing this person to verify with some institution abroad, maybe in America or wherever, this person may be claiming that he or she studied there. I'm trying to check what is the role of SAQA, for instance, if such institutions locally may not be on their own able to get to verify or confirm these particular qualifications. Because if you might have had, you find this individual in this employment for a long period. It's only discovered at times after 2 or 3 years after these people have been actually employed, and how we could actually keep that so that it does not affect the country anymore. But
advice that you deal with the stuff, leave the career guidance for very last, after the financials, because it's also a way forward kind of discussion, I think. So just park that one, specifically on Member Kubai, because I also would want to make a few comments in on that.
Issue around the vacancies, and the Honourable Member is right that there were three directors. The other person is Dr. Sharma Beaker, and Dr. Sharma Beaker was poached by Palama and went, and she was also the director for directorate for standard setting and development, which was one of the directorates that in fact was under threat. And so she moved. So that's the third person. But I think if you look on page 45, and you look at, if you're talking about senior directors at SAQA or senior staff, then you're looking at the director column. Now, because SAQA is a relatively small organization, you need one person to move, and then all your statistics change. So let me give you, and it's a snapshot in 1 year, but let me talk about the history of SAQA. I mean, I was the first executive officer, so whatever my color is, that is what it is until the day I resign or, you know, given the boot. But the important issue is, where's your breeding? Where's the, it's in your director column. Now, let's look at some of the directors that we've had of color and that were women. We had Sebelela Nombete was the first person. So Sebelela was the director for framework development, and then the director for quality assurance and development. she left us to go work for the Department of Labor. And then she went to become the CEO of the MAP CETA. So people in this position are highly mobile. The successor that we recruited was now soon to be Dr. Vova Pentler. She was with us as the Director for Quality Assurance and Development. Sassita took her up as the CEO, and she went to go and head that up. So SACWA has been the kind of training ground for a whole lot of that. I forget what Becky's surname is, the new guy at the MAP CETA, Becky Zulu. He was also a SACWA employee. So we're the training ground for a whole lot of people like that. So I think we must take a look at it, and there's a serious attempt at SACWA to ensure that happens. And there's a strategy all the time to bring people up and to deal with that. But we always joke, if one person leaves, it skews the whole thing. The issue about the butterflies, I did have a conversation with Joe, and I said, Joe, when you put up a signal, someone's going to ask the question, and they're going to say to us, are you the butterfly emerging, or are you the pupa sleeping, or are you, you know. So it was the stages of metamorphosis of a butterfly from a pupa to, but I also said that if someone asked that question, I'm going to say, what's that butterfly shaking its wings? It causes a hurricane down the continent. I think the question is a valid one. What is the genius that SACWA and an NQF brings? And I think that the NQF is where all the borders collapse. And so the NQF is a framework for communication, coordination, and collaboration. And if you look at that sketch, you only see that SACWA is a government-appointed custodian of the NQF. But if you look at who's all involved in it, it's all those bedrock institutions. You need to get your political will from the portfolio committee and from government, and we need to be doing that. So if you ask, what is it that you can use to move things? I believe you can use the NQF to move it. And that's where you get all the players together. And you can't have a vibrant learning society if you don't start to make sure. And maybe one is not talking about just borderless, but we're talking about that you have clear transition points. So if someone's at an FET college, they know what they must have to move to a university. They know that if I get that qualification, I can go and work as a carpenter or a bricklayer or whatever. So I think that the real key there is to get the NQF and get the NQF working. But linked to that is the issue about advice and information, which is quite critical. In the issue about false qualifications, now, I think this is very easy. There's a particular person that rocks up at our office ever so often, and he claims he has a doctorate. And he did work for one of our government departments, and he was an advisor to one of the politicians as well. And he maintains that he's got a valid doctorate. All our investigations have shown that it's not a valid doctorate, and we have stood firm on that. And then he runs to the minister, Minister Pandor, and then we get a letter back about this, and we write back to Minister Pandor at the time to say this is not that. So there are ways that we can verify. And again, on that slide, you'll see we've got two directors, the one for foreign qualification and one for the National Learner Records Database. And this role of verification is becoming exceptionally important, because all government departments are now verifying all the qualifications of their staff, and that's all coming through SACWA. And so that verification function is becoming increasingly, and we probably find some people are going to get nervous, especially if they have qualifications that are not proper qualifications.
just to follow up, and then we really have to finish up.
Is it a question of a rain doctor gets killed by the rain? You are Sakwa and you are being called by a doctor when you are the one to verify whether he's a doctor or not.
No, the point is that if someone comes to us with a qualification, we can with a high degree of certainty say, A, it's a valid qualification, it is, what's that? We can even, if we look at the documents, we can even say, this is a tampered document, and our people are very good at picking that up. But what we have is individuals who, when the documents are not recognized, they then run around trying to bully us to do it. But we don't, you know, I mean, we like the portfolio committee. We can't be bullied. Chair, the last thing was the issue about the career guidance. Again, I think the report of the visit and what we've learned is a nice publication. Some portfolio committee members already have it. We can certainly make a, I think we've, now, run out of hard copies, but we can give it on CD. We can certainly, yeah, we have a copy on CD that we can make available. We are going to have it reprinted because there's a big demand for that. And so we will do that. And we are awaiting, from the minister, we've asked for, you know, endorsement. And so when we get that, all direction, and then we'll take that matter forward.
It's Dr. Mishwana. Thank you for the title. I'm not bullied into anything by the speakers here, but I think it's very important to note the importance and appreciate what Sakwa is doing. Because I found myself sitting where I was employing some time if I came here, and people would come with qualifications from India, and definitely you don't know if this person is qualified or not. Such that I think what you are doing is wonderful, and we need to appreciate and pray that you do it correctly. Thanks.
Can we now move to finances? If there's any question, I think we started to deal with that implicitly. We do have a clean audit, books are in good order. Is there any bright person that want to ask a question on this? Doctor.
Sorry. So I just sent a note just to check. I just wanted to get a clarity in terms of the side of the disabilities. How far are they, especially on the woman emancipation? Yeah.
That's one question. Anyone else? Because I'm starting to wrap up here.
On, I think that's page 69. Under trade and other receivables, past due, but not impaired. Sakwa says they're confident they will still recover these monies in full, regardless of they being passed to. What measures, what is the system that they're employing to ensure that indeed the monies will be recovered in full? Thanks.
Anyone else? Dr. Mishwana?
Thank you. I can't find the page, but it's something on the fact that there's a clean audit or unqualified audit. But then there were two underspent. I can't get that. I'm checking if it was not possible to transfer that. I appreciate that. That was too minimal. It's too little. But couldn't it be transferred to be used elsewhere? Because if it's underspent, it means this world is looking for money. And can't you transfer it to other departments? I'm checking, sir.
This is lastly. If you actually take the money, the total money of SACCOA. And if you then do a analysis on say what we believe is important also around transformation, say the impound impact assessment. If you pull an impound impact assessment model on spend, in terms of events, you know, that's normal supply issues. Researchers, events managers, management, catering, and so on. How do SACCOA comes out of that one?
Chair, if I can deal with the issue about the disability issue first. SACCOA must have 4 disabled people working for it. The best we've been able to manage is 2. And again, we have the same story. We had 1 African woman that was employed by us in IT, but we gave her good training, she's wonderful, and they get snapped up like that. Because everybody is trying to fill their quota, and again, it's on. There's a whole number of issues. We have 1 board member that is a member of the Disabled Association, and every meeting that issue is highlighted. And again, we go out of our way to try and get people, train them, and also to make sure that our building is disabled friendly. Chair, the issues about I'll leave Mark to deal with the percentage spend. Your question.
And can I just ask the gentleman next to you to wake up there, please? Yeah, thank you. I mean, this is not really a place to sleep in our meetings. Member Fukuza, you wanted to do a just direct follow-up quickly.
May I just follow up on this? Thank you,
Chair. Maybe it's a question of semantics or interpretation. It happens in most organizations. I worked for an organization that had people that would leave, especially African people, and they would then say that they were so good that everybody wanted them. But it's a blurred kind of line between being unable to retain African talent and having somebody snatch that from you. There's a thin line. So I'm saying that, you know, it's okay to say people are leaving because people want them, but the other question is, why are you not able to retain the same?
Okay. Chair, that's a very valid question, and it's a question that we do ask ourselves. And I think there are 2 issues. One, when people get these offers, it's normally an offer that people find it very difficult to say no to, given their own personal requirements. But secondly, in all the people that I talk about, they all remain friends with SACCOA and pop in. And so we look to see, while maybe we don't have all the carrot factors to retain them, but are there push factors in the organization that kind of makes it easy for them to leave? And I think that in all their cases, had we been able to up their salaries by 200,000 rand a year, then we could have been able to retain them, because they would rather have continued to work at SACCOA than leave. But again, I think it's a valid point. It's a question that we always have to look into ourselves and not just use it as a kind of easy answer. So I think that question is there. We like to retain people. And also, with the National Qualifications Framework, it's not that we can just go and get people somewhere else. We have to actually, in a sense, grow our own timber. So we take people. But the moment they are there, a person like Christo Besson, for example, that was the director, he had 5 offers. And 3 of them were from CETAs. So I had the insurance CETA, the services CETA, and MERS CETA. And in one case we had spoken and we had retained him, but for 6 months, and then he decided no, he was going to go. Chair, the issue about the transfer, you know, if we don't spend money, can we just use it? That's a very good question. That we would have liked to have said yes, you know, if we're not using it, give it to somebody else who can use it. But the history of SACWA is a history of underfunding and a history of careful budgeting, so much so that the Department of Education, as it was then called, would say to us, this money that you can't or you're saving, keep it towards next year's budget because you're not going to get enough money. In some cases, the Department of Education would give us money in January and February, and we'd get a couple of million, and they'd say, this is towards your next year's budget. And so there's been a careful budgeting, and you'll see that even in our budgets that we submitted for next year, we know we're going to make a 5 million rand saving in this year that's going towards next year's budget. We have three scenarios. The first scenario is what we need to do. The third scenario is how much money have we got, so we have to scale back to meet the PFMA requirements. And then the second scenario is, okay, if we get a little bit more money, what more can we do? Now, we do that budgeting every year, and it's a juggle all the time. But what we can assure the Portfolio Committee is that there isn't wasted money or money. I mean, I laughed. There was a question from Parliament about how much did we spend on the function to launch our annual report. One of the, I think it was from the opposition parties. And we answered that, and SACWA doesn't have a special function, for example. We would, if there's a chairperson's lecture, the chairperson will hold up the report and wave it and say, the report is launched, and we send it to all our stakeholders and stuff like that, but we don't spend money on things like that. Mark.
Thanks, Chair. To address the question, on page 69, the trade and other receivables, in terms of the 1.3 million at the financial year end that was outstanding, we have already recovered the vast majority of that, if not all of it. One of the tests that the auditors do have a look at when they review our accounts is that they attest to the function that we will recover that in time. So they do extensive testing on that. In terms of what do we do to address these sort of things, we have a debtors function, one of the functions that reports into me, and we actively follow up on that, where we do struggle. We take it to a higher level, and in certain instances, the deputy executive officers also got involved with the senior management of the other organizations to ensure that we do get the funds in. Then in terms of the question of the total spend and transformation empowerment impact assessment, we have a strict supply chain management policy and procedure in place, and that conforms fully with the National Treasury regulations. And so we have also other measures that we put in place. We've recently purchased a database to assist us in procuring or getting the services of the entities that we'd want to do business with.
I also thought that the chairperson's question was, if you look at our total budget and our spend, then what percentage is going for staffing, what percentage is going on to operations, so that they get a sense that we're not a bloated bureaucracy.
Let's do this. Let's say that We somehow, I think you've covered, but I think it would be good if what we'll do is I'll put a just question so that you can respond on specifics of that, including what the CEO just said. Members, clearly where we are is the question was responded to when Madeiras quickly left the room. Your specific one as well, but there was some follow-up on something that he said.
I thought you were concluding, so I'm just worried about. There's something that I just want to raise. Probably it might not be directly with them, but we might need to take with up with the minister. I'm concerned about officials who sit on the board. There's one specific official, Dr. Kobel, sits on SACWA, sits on CHE, and another board. It's a bit of a concern I'm having that he's a deputy director general who's expected to be in the office. And it's functioning in all the support reports. I think we need to take it up with the ministry. I'm just picking it up because even on the CHE, I picked up that he's a board member. I think one of the things we'll have to find out the logic of it having an official there as a board, whether it's trying to get access of information quickly. But again, the issue of just an official,
the principle, but it's if it's one person on seven boards, that's possibly then a difficulty. But did you want to directly respond to that one as well?
I think that there's two things that I think that will rectify the situation. One, if you look at page 38, you see that Dr. Kubela was able to attend two out of the five meetings. And the new N2F Act, in fact, doesn't make allowance for that in future. So I think that in a sense is already structurally taken into account. I think the point that you make is valid, that people are busy, it's high level staff, and it's difficult to attend all these meetings, and I think I can't speak for Dr. Kubela, but I'm sure that he would say that he would be glad to not have to sit on all these committees. So the matter may be resolved in future.
Can I then say that the one issue I think on the career guidance and what you've agreed is they will send us the report. It will come to Anele and it will be circulated. That's one. However, the issue still stands. The fact that the reality is we do not have, whether it's unemployment database, whether it's a graduate database, all of those things in different ways we've now said it. The minister has, however, now announced a management information strategy and a management information system that they will be pursuing in terms of bringing all these fragmented information systems into a broad coherent approach. And so I think we need to take that up also with the minister, apart from the SACWA, because I think it's beyond SACWA as well. It's with all these different entities reporting to him. I think yesterday morning in the committee meeting of Labour, where they receive the annual reports of the CETAs, and you pick some of these things up. And we said to the, I then made a short input there and said we will engage them on this as well. So we have all the CETAs are going to, and it's much more, I think we can make it much more mandatory because it's now we are all part of the same family. It's not anymore where there's a different portfolio to be reporting to. That's why I think it would be good if we then see the existing operation and what therefore is the weaknesses in the existing operation, knowing that it can't address the bigger stuff, but even with what you've got, the feeding of information then becomes at times a problem, and what is the mechanics and the interconnected issues on that. I think SACWA did invite the chairperson at some stage to New Zealand, and I did indicate that it would be good to not, I wouldn't be able to go, but that my committee members, but it's what they were saying to me. SACWA indicated in deep research, they said that there's two models in the world that's possibly the closest to what South Africa needs to get into. It is the Leicester UK one, which is appropriate, but is most probably not the most appropriate. Remember, our penetration speaks to 10%. In fact, it's 8%. It's in the latest surveys around IT connectivity that it speaks to 10% is because of the cell phone connection. Now it's being said it's 10%. The UK has a 80%, 87% possibly penetration. So, but what the SACWA and the researchers were through documentation I've picked up is that they indicate, and the jury is still open on that. That's why I think they planned already early in the year to, in fact, tour in New Zealand. This is because the international research said it was the UK model and the New Zealand. Is it New Zealand or
New Zealand
model? That in terms of conditions, environment, and all of that, was probably would be much more applicable to the South African environment. However, understanding that there are models, I think the best brains in our South African environment already would be there to actually package what we're interested in.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, one can learn from that. I didn't know, I don't know what, because what happened to, if you guys have gone.
Tomorrow.
Oh, okay. so they are actually going tomorrow. Because I clearly indicated that I wouldn't be able to, and because it was the second week of November. But I did indicate at some stage to SAQA that I rather would suggest a committee to see a model like that. So it's something that we can take up. But I think, Member Kubai, what we do need is a meeting with the minister, and with the parliamentarian office of the minister is here. And I think we do need a discussion on this issue with him. So that's one. I think another summer recommendation that I want to make, or request that I want to make, is this list of this holders of foreign qualifications. Can we get it broken down per country? And can we get the qualifications broken down? No, and don't drill too deep. It's just the generic ones per country. Right? It is all, everything is there.
What we've done there is to outline the, you know, the kind of set of countries that we get applications from. You would see Zimbabwe for 57.1%, United Kingdom 4.8%, DRC 3.8%, and so on. Then on the second page, there's also a graph around the distribution of foreign qualification across organizing fields. So, for example, in education, training, and development, there's 22%. Business, commerce, and management studies, 15. Then physics, mathematics, 11, and so on. And then also on the same page, there's also a breakdown in terms of the levels. So you would, for example, see that in terms of NQF-5, now this is the 8-level NQF. Level 5 will be the kind of first year university and so on, 23.5%, NQF 7, 19%, and NQF 6, which is the degree level, 26%. So that is where the majority of stuff lies.
Can I just conclude quickly?
Yeah.
The link between the qualifications and the country, I think that
we can certainly do that.
That's one. And then SADC, SADC countries. Also that, I'm noting one or two of them, but if we can just make that package. It shouldn't be taking 5 months or so. It's just whatever there is, whatever you can lay your hands on. It seems like we've got...
Yeah, we've got it.
We'll so you can just pull that information.
Okay.
I don't want you to get to appoint 3 other people just to get that information. It's just really to get it. The reason why I'm asking is that the notion about a retention... recruitment retention strategy for SADC, I think we're getting there. We're going to start discussing that issue because Africa is losing a lot of our potential to Europe, and they're taking it up based on incentives and salaries and so on, and I think we require a SADC skill strategy, and it's something that surely the Parliament will be pushing. If we can have that... and then the meeting with the minister will obviously happen. But members, thanks a lot, and also to...
Sorry, can I just ask a question, Chair? In terms of the NLRD, was the suggestion that we should come here and make a presentation to the whole portfolio committee?
Yeah, what we're going to do is the Parliament rise. But we'll get instructions from the WIP in terms of how the committees will work next week. And if it doesn't happen next week, then obviously in the first possible one, early next, it is committee week. So what we will do is we will send out a information about the meeting, and I really would want to see this presentation because we would want to engage very urgently, because I do in a National Youth Development Agency. I'm going from here now to, and there's people here, youthful people from linked to the young youth structures that has also indicated the importance of it. We were in Giyani the other day, and same issue. And what we require is an urgency on that. So yes, it seems to me it will then be next Wednesday, and operation, whoever can, needs to then present. Professor Smiles.
Thank you, Chair. My apology for arriving late. And I just have one question, but you can rule me out of order. I'm sure maybe it has been dealt with. It's on the underspending. I just want to check the capacity of the SAQWA. I see that there's on under expenditure 6 million rand, and it is due to savings on personnel costs. And then you look at the efficiency and the financial management in the other slide, then you see under research, there's an under expenditure of 1.7 million rand. Now, my question is then, if you have that saving under expenditure on personnel, does that not compromise your capacity to spend your money? And then research, which is important for SAQWA, why is it that you don't spend that kind of money?
We've dealt with that earlier, and there was a long discussion on it and two follow-up questions on it. So what I will advise, Mr. Smiles, is that just after the meeting, that you can just interact and get that response if you don't mind. Let me really thank SAQWA. It's always good to know that our quality assurance are quality assured, and this is what we are seeing. So everything of the best. We've started to indicate some of the drilling down issues that will be there for the future, and especially next year. But everything of the best, and then we'll see you next week, whoever can be here, around the learner tracking system. Thanks a lot. Our members, just to stay behind, the committee continues. Passing of our minutes. However, now that we do have Honourable Member Mashamba here, we are going to deal with the Giyani report as well.
Okay.
And I think we need to get an attendance register so that just add on the attendance register that we've hijacked him into this discussion. But let's quickly just deal with the. With other minutes, we've got quite a few, isn't it?
2 minutes.
Which one? The 20th. The 20th of October, members, the Cuban, the draft minutes of proceedings dealing with a Cuban delegation that visited our committee. Generally, I've looked at it. Generally, it is fine. There's a few, obviously. Areas that just need to be strengthened or edited, and I've also highlighted in my doc, and I'll just give it to you. But Mr. Makabela?
There isn't much, but under page 3,
yeah?
Bullet 3,
yeah?
The middle sentence, I think, needs to be rectified. The youth of the country are well educated regarding about protection from sexual. I think it must be.
Yeah. Yeah. Have well educated is just a. Yeah. I mean, like the same, that's what I said, I'll just give it to Anela, but on page 2, the methodology about the Yes campaign, Yes I Can campaign, in its literacy campaign. So there's just a few corrections, but further than honourable member.
Chair, I rendered my apologies. I don't know if they did not receive it. Other than basic education PC, it's not reflected.
Okay, can we correct that? Then, okay, this is just in its literacy campaign it has been, and then one of the highest level. One of, okay. Basic education. Yeah. The members that were in basic education, right, we'll double check if the members were actually in the basic education meeting.
I actually held them back then, so I refused. I had refused them permission to leave that
meeting. Oh, okay. So, again, now I'm just kidding. Okay, so that's adopted. Members, there were a invitation, you'd recall that there was a letter at that meeting dealing with a international conference on higher education in the city of Havana in February. and you'd recall that. There was letters that were circulated by the ambassador. My request is that we pursue this, I would suggest that, but I think we should possibly speak to the minister if we can get on the agenda between the WIP, myself, and the minister that matter, because obviously it is an international conference, not necessarily for Parliament only, but it seems to me it's also for the governments, and we've now been formally invited, and I think we should just, February is always a difficult time in the life of South Africans in terms of Parliament, but we just need to reflect on this. I wonder, is it possible that I put, if you don't mind, if we can ask Honourable Hadebe, just to, between the WIP and Honourable Hadebe, just to pursue the matter and see if there is any possibilities in this. Have the meeting with the advisors of the minister, and then they report back to us in the first one of January. But in a sense, if the meeting is positive, then to start proceeding with a request, because I think that's really the issue. Member Kubai, are you comfortable with that?
Okay, I think I don't have a problem with the procedure. But mainly because we are from Parliament, we might even agree with the minister. But I think the parallel structure, we might need to start moving parallel and get permission from Parliament itself.
Yeah.
In terms of the trip, and then we'll work together
okay.
to make sure that.
Yeah, I'm more looking at the funding options when I'm saying a discussion with the ministry. That's really what why I put it to that. But I think the technical process. And I don't think it will be all of us and the WIP and Member Khadebe would then advise, because it is in February and it is the opening of Parliament. That's our realities here. Yeah. Is this one from them? Yeah. So it's the 7th to the 11th. So it is a difficult series.
Can I just say something before honourable member, please? I'll have to start with the chief whip's office, because then it means if that's the case, we need special permission from the chief whip. So we'd have to start that it, before we even go to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Let me start engaging with the chief whip this week and then give an indication.
Okay.
But when we engage with you, might find that we are not allowed.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Just a very short addition. Noting that the February is a difficult month, like you said, Can we reinforce this delegation? Because we will be busy, I know, but it's very important also to check what's happening, especially there, such that we put Ujina and there are three. It's not like I'm not satisfied with the whip and Hadebe, but let's get the first person to make sure that
Rebalance Mpumalanga.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I'm completely comfortable with that. There's no issues for me on that. Can I just advise, this is really the legwork. This is not the necessarily the people. Can I also ask that we send a circular with a letter to all the MECs in each province, as well as the chairpersons of the legislatures dealing with education. So, Dennis, if you can draft, you've got the draft letter. We've got the letter, no? The invitation.
Yes,
and then that we then will get it out next week so that we also just inform, and if there's an interest that they can feedback to us. That's that. Then the Stellenbosch. Which one? NSFAS on the 28th of October, NSFAS. Okay. Yeah, the Stellenbosch, yeah. You don't have the 28th, no, but then if you didn't, it wasn't circulated before. You did not get the 28th. Okay, can I advise that we just keep the NSFAS back for next week then? Because remember, these are always strategic issues in the NSFAS. It's not just to look at a sentence here or a sentence there. Let's then concentrate on the 13th. Okay. Okay, but if you don't mind, let us say that we then put it on the next agenda, the NSFAS, that we ask members now to peruse it, look at the content, but also then the edit, grammatic issues, but that we then put on the agenda of that particular meeting. Stellenbosch, the 13th of October.
So I've looked at the minutes. I didn't have anything in particular. I'm one of those who do not look at grammar, so I just read the content and define. And I've also received the reports that came following. I've also received them as part of what we had requested from the institution.
Yeah. So can we then pass this minute? There is obviously issues to be followed up. But we're not now going to talk about the actions. Member Machiavelli, you're quite hesitant. Okay. Cool. Fine. Okay, let's do that. I must say that the week after our visit, there was a letter that I've received from an individual. His child is a grade A or grade B. I think you actually dealt with that letter, no? You forwarded it to the university. But what was quite interesting is that this child matriculant, one of the top students in the class, however, struggled to get, and the lady that picked up the phone at the side and it triggered, the family wouldn't have applied to Stellenbosch based on the language issue. And then because of a visit, because of the public announcements, because of what they saw on TV, they actually then wrote to us. That's how we got involved. And the individual that were picking up the phone at Stellenbosch University actually told this doctor. The doctor was a orphanage child, and he grew up, and he, you know, black person. And he's now excelling as a doctor, but then when he was making the call to say, look, based on what was in the media of Parliament and university, they are interested actually now to send their child also there. The person on the other side of the phone, this lady, actually demotivated the doctor. So apart even from the actual technical process, just the way the calls are being picked up. You know, it's going to be difficult, it's Afrikaans predominantly, et cetera, et cetera. And then he wrote to me, and then I forwarded the information to the rector, and the rector had to override it.
but it's after certain dramatic interventions. But it shows it's only because he's currently, now imagine the ordinary person that would not be able to go through all that pain. So clearly there is a problem that needs to be addressed, but I think we did commit ourselves to go there at some stage again, and I think we must put this also on the priority order for January. And then, in fact, have a discussion on transformation at universities. I wonder if we can't put in this report also that it's not only a report to be ministered, but it's also one that we want a debate on transformation at higher institutions, and then do a case analysis of this.
But also, Chair, maybe to also move in monitor the close registration processes in the following year, especially in the all universities that are problematic.
Good. Yeah, Regina.
It's on a very lighter note, Chair. I know you are from there, and from what you reported, you can feel even the issue of racism, Africans discriminating and whatever in that campus. I'm just interested really on this Sumbandila satellite that was launched there. It has been troubling me, but since you were there, maybe you got a chance of really, maybe you even got a chance to interact with this name exactly. What is this Sumbandila?
Can we therefore not discuss it now? but if you, Minister of Science the other day in the National Assembly actually also dealt with it. But yeah, we'll be able to give you information after the meeting. The limited stuff that we understand of it, then we'll refer you to the Minister of Science. But it's real, it's there, it's somewhere in the air.
I wanted to be clear in what you were suggesting as a way forward. That this report will table it in Parliament, but as well ask for a debate on it as part of transformation in higher institutions. Is that correct? So I wanted us to be clear on it so that when it moves, and then we are clear that we're sending it to Parliament for early next year, and then therefore we are requesting a debate on it.
Good. Fine, that's then the Guyana report. Now we... This is fine. Members, we've got the report in front of us. It essentially captures the issues that we've dealt with, and then at the end, it deals with recommendations. Now, I really want to go to the recommendations. Honourable Member Khadebe, Member Makabele, did you actually look at this report? Because we've made you the point person. Sorry? Okay. Let me say that it captures all, obviously, the issues, but then at the level of recommendations, it says the department should create a database where the details of dropouts and graduates will be kept. The provincial department should strengthen coordination between ABET and the Kariguri campaign at all levels. There's a need to engage with NSFAS concerning a greater allocation of funds to learners in FET colleges. The former Giani College should be maintained regularly. In the long term, the Limpopo department should consider reopening the college to offer teacher education. It was noted that the unused buildings of the college, including the laboratory and resource center, are a waste of resource, and the Letaba FET College should engage with the municipality and local industry in order to ensure that they are supplied with the requisite human resources. Those are the recommendations made. Now, I don't want us to now look into the the other body of the report. I think if you've got comments on, errors in the report, spelling errors, etc., please pass that on to Anele. I really want us to focus on the strategic recommendation on what we've agreed. Now, members would recall we've brainstormed every day. Is this sufficiently captured? What do we need to add? And if we do need to add, let's not discuss Kiani now. Let's just look at the actual further recommendations. One, for example, I think there was an agreement that there needs to be a skills development workshop in that district. It was a very practical suggestion. I think the IGR issue is being dealt with here in terms of the department, etc., of the province that is not regularly attending meetings. That's been captured in the document. And then the closer cooperation needs to be highlighted. I also think the issue of the water and sanitation was a real issue. It's not our issue, but it was a real issue. And we need to capture it and then ask that that this report also be sent with extraction out of our concerns to the water committee. So that we not only capture it and it goes into the subsystem, because I doubt it if Parliament is so strategic where they're going to unpack the report and see what goes to what is important for the Water Committee or for the Ministry of Water Affairs, etc. So I want to capture, if you don't mind, the Skills Development Workshop, the reporting back to Giyani. We can't do it in this month necessarily, Silence, but clearly you're going to have to then convene a meeting in this month just to say that we then will report back through the Skills Development Workshop early next year. Then the water and sanitation problem, and that we then get Dennis to Anneli to also make sure that under our heading that goes to our Water Committee. Is there anything else that you just want to recommend, Member Bukuza?
I just don't want to start a debate when there's a visitor. Otherwise, I would have made some observations around the recommendations and how I would probably suggest we handle oversight visits and the impressions. So I just think that the chairman will provide another space for that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're now only dealing with the No, that's more logistical question.
Just to say that I think there's a need, I was not part of the visit, but reading the report, I think there's a need to write to the department in the province on the issues that are concerning the committee, so that what is being raised and recommended that the department must do must be taken on. I think as well there's a need for us to look at how we engage the department directly on the issues that are raised. I mean, the issues, I've picked up the issue of certification of ABET. I've picked up the issue, the linkage between curriculum and ABET, I think. The issue of stipend, I think, was somewhere of volunteers. I'm just trying to pick up some of the things that I've really looked into. But I think that is core to say, how do we think what is coming out, because as you are saying, that I don't think Parliament is easier to go there, but take the issues that we are making as a recommendation out of the report that needs the attention of the department to start dealing with. Some of the issues needs basic education, some needs both basic and higher education to address, and then that is important for me, that we've got to define specifically how we are taking the report and recommendation further.
Can we then say, as part of the recommendations, that's an overall strategic question in terms of we must make sure that between, seems to me, myself, in this case the advisor, and the secretary, we just manage the process out of the report as well. That means make sure that there's a letter and these are the content that will go to the MEC, copy to the HOD, etc., etc. But can we put in the recommendations the concern about stipends not been paid out to volunteers fully, and that where volunteer educators are in place, that they in fact have to use the stipend for further education. I think it's something that I've raised already with in that education committee meeting the other day. So it's very specific recommendations that we'll drill down. It is I've picked it up in the report, but in the recommendations there's certain things that we have to. If we can sort out amongst all others bigger problems in education, but if we can help those volunteer educators that did not receive their stipend the last 6 months whilst they were actually on the job helping the people, then at least we've done something in real terms for our people, and we just didn't just go and listen to what they were saying. Dennis, I'm noting your hand on this.
I just wanted to highlight that we noted it in the findings, and then maybe there is a strong feeling that we should put it as a recommendation. We could do that, and we might need guidance on that.
Yes, I'm suggesting. I picked it up in the findings, but I'm actually suggesting we want it into the recommendation that the department, National Department of Higher Education, needs to address this issue speedily. Member Kuzan.
I'm a bit frustrated now with the process.
Oh.
Are we agreeing on these recommendations to be the recommendations that come out of Kiani experience? And are we saying that the recommendations will be going to, will be escalated to the next level? Because I think what I was trying to say, and I don't want to hold back the process, was that there probably would have been without coming with a shopping list of recommendations. I think that there's a need, and I'm sure you're chasing against time, to have reflected on the on the recommendations. My sense, had there been such an opportunity, I would have probably even said, let's look at both content and context, and because it's easier to do that. Because when you talk context, then you talk a whole lot of things. My sense was that as we were there, there was a sense that there would be a more strengthened communication between national and province, because there was a lot of what was not coming through. So there are a lot of contextual issues that actually lend themselves into the weaknesses in terms of content management. So this is what I'm saying. I'm just a little...
Members, can I then advise on the following? What she's calling for is a reflection even on the context and the issues that we've picked up there. I think that's really what you're... Obviously, with these recommendations, can I advise, if taking into account, is this something fundamental if we, in fact, have the discussion in our last committee meeting? We can delay till then, right? But then we're asking every member to be there, one. Secondly, we are asking these are the recommendations, and I think what people have added, we already strengthen the document now with those ones, that we then will have a discussion led, in this case, I think, by Member Makubele, on reflections. We are asking the higher education and training officials, the relevant officials of Karagudi, to be there, the one person. We are asking the individual responsible for skills development to be there, meaning in the department there must be a unit, not the CETUS now, the unit that's coordinating that. That's the second one to be there, so that we can have that contextual discussion and then pass those recommendations. Because we do need... You see, always my fear with oversight is it's great we go there, people tell their stories, but what then? And therefore, I really want to hone on the actual technical recommendations out of there. Because if we are not able at least to impact positively on certain very basic principles that we've seen as weaknesses there, then our oversight actually means nothing. Because then we've gone there to prepare a report, and that's what I want to see. So are you comfortable with the recommendation that we then have that discussion led the report to be tabled and led by our member that we said will coordinate our process going forward in Giyani. Member Khadebe and Mushwana, I actually want to close this meeting. I thought we're not going to...
No, we're not discussing through you. I'm checking that there is something seriously misleading on page 2. And if we leave it and hand it over like this, maybe people will understand that.
Okay, but what it is?
Page 2, district municipality under 2.5, Ms. Emma Tebula, Mayor, Giyani District Municipality, that district should be removed so that we can understand that.
Okay, cool.
Because that's not correct.
Okay, I did ask Member Mushwana that people just, if there's any grammatic or any technical issues that need to be corrected, that we just, in fact, by the end of business tomorrow, submit it to our secretary that he will correct those things, and then based on the recommendations that we've also introduced. Members, then, lastly, we are having our last meeting next week. So we're not... Khadebe and Mushwana. We are not passing there for this document. We then will finalize it in the next meeting. But we are having a final committee meeting next week. So the agenda will go out after today. In fact, we must send something out by today just to alert all the members that's even not here. Member Kubai, we've talked earlier, SAQWA, the issue about the database system. That's one. What was the other areas that... This is the second one now. That's the one, the report on Gari, but including the learner system. And this one. And then the skills development that you just wanted a process towards early next year. I think those are the three issues. The skills development strategy. Those are the three. In fact, the minister wanted to do a presentation on the framework. That's possible also on the agenda. So those are the three or four things. So members, let's then round off. We'll have our final meeting next week, though Parliament will not be having any sessions next week, but the direction from the work there is that committee meetings will take place next week. With that, I want to close this meeting. Also thank to our visiting members, one from the NCOP and one from the legislature. Silence.
Only technicality as well, but remember there's that ad hoc committee on service delivery approaches and all that, and it's likely to start its work almost immediately.
We'll discuss that. Yeah. I think on this one there's a priority for this. I understand the other priority, but we'll discuss it. Members, can we then thank you and let's get to our other responsibilities. Thanks.
Can I request all members of the NC to remain?